When it comes to creatives, there's typically two kinds of creatives. There's one who thrives on experimenting, so they're always experimenting in during the creative process, and there's people who thrive on finishing things.
See, I think I do lean toward experimentation. I do like the experimentation experience.
I would say I lean more towards finishing. When you have a theory, you have to test it time and time again. All you're doing is experiment until it finally works.
Feeling like my work is inadequate is just a necessary part to get the best of the best out of me.
If you're naturally a finisher and you're like, I don't want to go back to do this again, it's like, well, I mean, you finish things fast anyway. Just finish the new one again.
Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.
Yeah, action.
All right, I'm ready.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. It's your topic today.
All right, guys. So I was reading Rick Rubin's book, The Creative Act. Shout out that man. And it was a section in there that he was talking about. I'm trying to be serious.
Why you laughing?
I'm just laughing because I'm just the switch from doing the accents going into being serious was throwing me off. Why were you laughing?
Because the conversation earlier.
Wow, that's funny. All right. So, yes, I'm listening to Rick. I'm reading Rick Rubin's book, and he talked about this idea of, like, experimenters versus finishers. And pretty much to sum it up is he was saying that when it comes to creatives, there's typically two kinds of creatives. There's one who thrives on experimenting, so they're always experimenting during the creative process, and there's people who thrive on finishing things. And so I was curious what you guys think you guys are what do you guys think you guys are between the two?
All right, y'all, don't boo me. I think I'm in the middle.
Boo! Get her out of here, man.
Shanka mananka.
I think I'm in the middle because I do enjoy experimenting. I think I do lean toward experimentation. I do like the experimentation experience. A lot, but and then I kind of transition over sometimes and be like, all right, I want to get some stuff done, and then that becomes the priority. So I would say I'm both.
And what was the question?
Between an experimenter and a finisher, which one do you think you lean more towards?
I would say I lean more towards finishing. When you say lean more towards, is what we do more or?
Yeah, like what do you feel like?
What makes me happier?
Yeah. What do you enjoy more, finishing?
Me enjoy finishing. Me I finish a project, me I just start again.
Okay.
What about you, Dwight?
For me, I definitely... I think I'm an experimenter. I have a lot more fun when I'm in the process. Whoa, traffic. All right. So I enjoy experimenting a lot more than I do finishing. But I think I am growing to like finishing things a lot more. But the experimentation part, I be feeling like a science. I'm like, I'll put this here, chemical X.
You know? Me not finish as much as me I like, I finish. That was bad. I'll be finishing stuff like I'll be wanting to finish stuff. So when I actually finish stuff, it brings peace of mind and it just warms me up inside. And I enjoy life as a painter. I enjoy looking at my paintings when they're done. If it's music, I enjoy listening to my music once it's done. So that's why I enjoy finishing over the experimenting process. Mm. But in order for me to finish, I have to experiment. So
you don't.
I do. Because I'm going to get bored.
Oh. Mm. That's interesting.
So when you don't finish things, is it because you're experimenting halfway through or is it because of something else?
A lot of times it's because experimenting. I haven't done this yet, so I'll be waiting to be able to see it in my mind first. And once I can see it, once I was able to see it in my mind, it's easier for me to execute. But now going forward, regardless if I can see it in my mind or not, I'm going to just... act until it's done and whatever happens. That's where I'm at now. I just want to show up for myself. And typically when I show up, and just focus on whatever it is I'm doing, I enter the flow state and the flow gets me to the end result. So stuff be taking a lot longer because I be procrastinating. Long story less long, man. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. You guys know what you're about to say? I was going to say, do you feel like, so if you're a finisher or if you're an experimenter, do you feel like you want to do the opposite one more often now, like just to see what it would be like? Or do you just never want to do it? Either one of you guys.
I'm in the middle. So.
Me, I take it from ear.
No, not with that accent. Okay. I would say that it depends on what I'm doing. So if I feel like that for most of the time that I've done this thing, let's say singing or whatever, that I have experimented, but I haven't finished stuff, then I'd be like, dang, I want to get some stuff done. Because then it starts to feel like, all right, it starts to feel like I'm not doing anything. Like, am I wasting time? And then vice versa, if I am finishing things but I'm not experimenting, I start to wonder if I'm actually paying attention to what I'm doing. Hmm. Like, am I progressing at all? Or am I just getting stuff done just because I just want to get it done?
Okay. Can you ask that question one more time?
So if you, I'll just say for you, since you're more of a finisher, do you find that you want to try experimenting more often?
It just depends on how I'm looking at time. So if I'm looking at time as if I have time to just do whatever and not have a specific end date or not trying to get a certain result out of whatever it is I'm doing, I'm more inclined to experimenting. I hope that made sense. Let me say it in patois.
You know, you gotta do it.
Yeah. He said, it didn't come out right in American English.
Well, yeah, it just depends on how I'm looking at time. So if I'm looking at time as if I'm a child, I'm going to experiment, regardless if I finish or not. The experimentation phase is me finishing. Like, once I'm finished experimenting, whether it's complete or not, I finish.
So you said if you are looking at time like you're a child.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you do that?
When I do it enough. When I look at time like me, I pitney.
But how often? Like, you said not enough, but like that wasn't a frame of time. Like, do you do it like weekly or monthly?
When I do it enough, man. Sorry, now I can't answer that question right now. I wouldn't say weekly. It just depends on what I'm doing. So if what I'm doing is something that I see a future with, I feel like I take it more seriously. Not even take it more seriously, but I have a specific expectation for this thing. So I guess I'm more critical of it, or I want it to be perfect. I want it to be a certain way. I know how I want it to look. If I'm experimenting, I might know why I started. And I have an idea of where I'm going, but I'm just here just to be here.
Okay. Okay. I get that. What about you?
I'm trying to get a lot better with finishing things. And I mean, I am. So, and it's fun because as I've been finishing certain things, I'm like, all right, cool. That was cool. I want to go back and do this again, similar to what Breeze was talking about. So, I'm definitely working on finishing more things than I started. But I'm also finding that there's more room for me to experiment than I thought. Like, in my head, when you have a deadline for stuff, I don't like kind of like how he was just talking about, I don't really have as much time to play around with. But then I realized that, no, I actually have as much time as I want. Like, I told myself I was going to get this done before 12 o'clock. And if I don't waste any time, I can still experiment and get the thing done. But beforehand, I was feeling like, nah, let's not even put a deadline on it. I got to make sure I went left this time. Let me see if what happens if I go right. Let me see what happens if I stand still for 5 seconds. And now it's like, nah, I could do that. But then it's like, all right, let's get back to center. So I'm learning to finish more things than that I've started.
Okay. So I just want to hear both of your perspectives on this. When you do have a deadline, do you find yourself rushing to get to the deadline or no or not?
If I have a deadline, I don't really see too much room for like to play or experiment or just see what happens. Is I have a deadline, so I know what I'm doing. So I'm going to keep doing this until I'm done.
So you kind of like lock in and get focused. It doesn't make you feel like you're rushed, but you're like,
I'm not veering. Yeah, I'm not veering off from this plan.
Okay.
So
you like straight on the road. What about you?
It depends on the deadline. One, who set the deadline. And two, I think it just depends on like, it just depends on the task, because if it's me finishing something for somebody else, I may not experiment as much because I want to get it done for somebody else. But if it's for me, I may give myself a little bit more leeway to kind of, all right, let me test this out. And sometimes I end up finishing it faster, and then I'm like, well, since I finished it, let me go ahead and go back a little bit and let me try this real quick. Let me try that real quick. And then I end up experimenting more that way. But it all depends on who set the deadline and like who it's for.
But you'll still get it done. But if you do have not less time, extra time at the end, like let's say you got it done early, you'll make the time to go back and do some experimentation.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing lately. Because I'd be like, what if this isn't the best that I could have did? So what if I go back and let me tweak this and tweak that? Let me just see if it makes it, let me shush it up a little bit, you know?
So do you find that being an experimenter helps you to be able to put your best foot forward or put out your best work every time? Or does it hinder you in any way?
I think it depends. I mean, sometimes it can be a hindrance because things could have been out sooner because I might spend a lot of time tweaking stuff, trying to get it better. And then it's like, you can also experiment to the point where now it's so far from the thing that you were doing that you're not even invested in it anymore. So I think sometimes it can be very helpful, and then sometimes it can be a hindrance. In the same way, the deadline can be very helpful to be like, all right, let's organize, because you know, I otherwise I'm gonna be here playing all day. I'm gonna just be in this room just playing and it's not getting anything really done. But sometimes it can be a distraction too. So I think it really just depends. What about for you?
She thought she had sneak.
Yeah, she thought.
Sneak past the question.
Like, which question am I answering?
No, you asked a question.
Both of them.
I'm answering the one I asked?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't you ask both of them?
Oh.
Yeah, you did. She thought she was slick.
She thought she was Oprah.
She said, hold on, let me ask one more question. As a matter of fact, now that you said that, one more question.
Okay, so for the first question about deadlines, because I actually did have another question, now I forgot it. About deadlines, I think that sometimes when I set a deadline, it does cause me to rush to the finish line, to finish it. That's why I asked that question. But now lately I've been finding that I actually need more time to experiment, because I think before when I was scheduling, I wasn't accounting for that, like the time for experimentation or corrections or editing, or which I feel like is sometimes a part of the experimentation. Sometimes you have something and then you're like, well, let me fix this. Let me change this. Let me see if this will work in a different way. And I wasn't allowing myself the space to do that. So then my deadlines, I would just wind up having to keep pushing them back. But I think going forward, I'm going to make sure I include time for the experimentation or editing.
I'm just trying to remember what it was that I was about to say. Now, I believe it was, you were talking about time.
Yeah, leaving time for.
Got it. I'm just trying to figure out how I want to present it. In my mind, it's in Patois, so I'm trying to give it to our American audience so they understand what I'm saying. But basically, we have all the time we need to experiment when we're focused on where we're going. So if we eliminate the side missions, I feel like when I be having too many side missions, well, when I be having side missions in general, I don't feel like I have time to experiment because my mind and my focus is in so many different places. But part of the journey of making whatever it is you want to do your reality is experimentation. Mm-hmm. So it's a theory until you make it true. A theory, when you have a theory, you have to test it time and time again. All you're doing is experiment until it finally works.
Yeah, it's like the art and science of creativity. But I think for me, what I was doing before was, it's not even to account for like side missions or anything. I wasn't valuing the experimentation time when I was setting my deadline. So in my head, it's like, okay, it's 1 + 1 = 2. Now realizing it might be 1 + 1 × 3 = 6, right? I know math. And so I'm thinking like, okay, it's just straightforward. If you got a paper that's due, the paper due on Tuesday at 11:59, it's just due on Tuesday at 11:59. But as I'm growing as an artist, and even as I am eliminating whatever side missions and stuff, just recognizing like, oh, this experimentation or this playtime, this editing time, it's not me wasting time. It's not me doubting myself. It's not me feeling like my work is inadequate. It's just a necessary part to get the best of the best out of me. So that kind of goes into the second question that I had asked, if experimentation helped to pull the best out of me, or if it was a hindrance. I feel like for the most part, experimentation does help to pull the best out of me. But I think it's when I use it in conjunction with the idea that I plan to finish this thing, or I plan to apply this knowledge in the future so I can finish other things. Because sometimes, you know, you just write a song to write a song, and it's not to do anything with it. Sometimes it's just to get it out of your system. Sometimes it is just to experiment and see, like, can I write something in this genre? Can I write something in this style? Can I do something in my writing that's different, that is unexpected even by me, or something that I just learned, just to see how it works within my toolbox?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tool belt.
Mm-hmm. My tool belt.
Rosie the Riveter. Roxanne, my bad.
Roxanne. So I do think that it can be something, a tool that pushes you forward. But I do know that sometimes I might hold on to something for too long because I'm letting it linger in the experimentation phase. Or sometimes I'm just procrastinating. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I just haven't finished it. A lot of times it's that for me.
I was just going to say, just to chime in, mm-hmm. purposeful experimentation. That's the key.
Uh-huh.
When you experiment. Uh-huh. So like have a reason for experimenting.
Yeah.
Like in order, like if you plan on getting this done or finishing, mm-hmm. it's like I'm experimenting with the means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just here twiddling my thumbs. Mm-hmm. Me not just waste time. Me work. I almost messed up.
See me work, work. I was like, okay, all right. I got you. I hear you. That man working. But I feel you. I was also going to say, I think, as somebody who's naturally an experimental, because I definitely will catch myself, I get more excited thinking about working on a thing, like the process of me working on it. Like me getting 5-6 songs done, whatever it is, that only gets me excited after I'm already in the flow of doing it. But beforehand, if you tell me, hey, you got to get 7 songs done, I'm like, bro, this feels like a mountain. Mm-hmm. But if you tell me, all right, we're about to, like, you just got to get one done, and then you got to work on this one, and then I'm experimenting, and then I finish one, and then I finish the second one, I'm like, oh, we here now. Like, let's go. Let me try this. Let me do this. So that usually helps me. But I've also noticed that if I give myself 5 hours to make something, I make it in 5 hours. If I give myself 15 minutes, I make it in 15 minutes. So, but it's almost like there's a little bit of a grace period in there where it's like my mind, I'll get it done and then I'll look at the window of like, there's still a little bit of time for me to mess around. Let me see real quick if I do. I'm like, oh, okay. And then it feels like extra credit for me. So like, that's the reason why I like to, I'm starting to enjoy the process of finishing, but really honoring the deadline that I set for myself. And that one is usually a lot easier for me to mess around with.
That's what I be doing when I be working out. So the extra credit part. Mm-hmm. So typically on my second or the first set, it'd be heavy. I ain't gonna lie. So on the second or the last set, typically the last set, once I hit my number, I'm like, yeah, this extra credit. Now I just keep going until, but it's just like, at that point, I'm having fun. When I don't want to be in there, and it's like, it's time to go, we just knock these out. But as of late, I've been having fun, so we're going to get some extra credit in. And as I say this, it'd probably be best for me to do that with the creative things, too. I'd be up anyway.
I don't know nothing about this extra credit.
Oh, you missing out.
Because I think because I'm like in the middle of all this, like
you lukewarm.
Even when we go to, when we use it working out as an example, we could still stick with that. Like I remember there was a previous episode where Damani was saying that he enjoys the actual process of working out. Like he enjoys the journey. And then you were like, you feel refreshed once the workout is done. Like, you enjoy the fact that you finished the workout. And I was like, I enjoy the days when I don't have to work out. And, like, that is literally, like, so I'm in between. Like, I'm not necessarily happy to be doing this workout. But I'm also, I mean, like, I know that it's good that I finished it. But it's just like... Like, I like the benefits. Mm-hmm. I like the benefits, and I'll be knowing my body be like, dang, yeah, we need to get back in the gym. I've been feeling that lately, okay? All I keep hearing in my head is, your back hurt because your core is weak, you know? And I'm going to get that together.
So, what gets you more, I was going to say excited, but what makes you feel more relieved knowing that you're going to get more attempts to work on something or knowing that you finished it?
I'm just in the middle.
I don't know. I really don't know. I think it varies depending on the day. Like I genuinely think it varies. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I can't wait till I just get this thing done. But then other days I'm like right now we're working on this 30-day songwriting challenge. I'm just excited to be going through the challenge and experimenting and all of that stuff. But on some days, but even while we're doing that, I'm also thinking like, oh, I can't wait till I use this to rewrite some of my songs that I already wrote. Go ahead. So like, it really just, I like both, but it depends on the day, which one I lean toward.
I was going to say stuff is in seasons. Like stuff could be happening in seasons. So you could be in a season of experimentation and maybe once 2026 come around, maybe second quarter, you know.
Honestly, I think first quarter, I'll probably wind up being like finisher mode. So maybe that is what it is. It's like seasonal for me. So right now, when I'm experimenting, I allow myself to just fully experiment. And sometimes I remember before I was writing every night when I was just writing to a bunch of different beats and figuring that out. And then I was recording almost every day. So I was getting all that stuff done. And then I burnt myself out a little bit and I was experimenting again. Mm-hmm. So I guess, and that also might be like, I guess like I want to say the ebbs and flows of life, but also the ebbs and flows of creativity. And like the experimentation, I think, helps to bring me back to life. And then the finishing aspect helps me to encapsulate what I've done. Does that make sense?
Say it impossible.
I want to say it's the ebbs and flows. the ebb and flow of the water. The water of life.
Sound way better than possible.
Always does.
The water.
But yeah, I'm not sure. I do think I like how you categorized it, or
how you phrased it. Like, it's in seasons. So right now I'm in an experimentation season and I'm very much engrossed in it. And I feel like 2026, either January or February, I'm gonna be more so in like a finishing season.
So how do you guys know when something is finished?
Oh, you did ask that.
All this time y'all ain't prepared no answer?
I couldn't remember the question. You couldn't even remember the question.
So how do you prepare for?
No. How do you know when something is finished?
I didn't hear the question.
You can go.
Oh, word. I know something is finished when, yeah, like Shakoya said, I don't have nothing to add to it. Or, yeah, either I don't have anything to add to it or what I envisioned for it or what I sought to do is done.
Yeah. I think, yes, those things. But I think sometimes it's also that it gets to a point where it's like, okay, I just don't need to touch this anymore. Even if I don't feel like it's quite finished yet. Because sometimes you hold on to things for so long and you keep trying to change things and you keep trying to like adjust things and it's like, can I get it any better? And then you keep going back in, you keep experimenting. And at some point, sometimes it's like, you know what? This is its best version right now in this moment. And I have to accept the fact that I will release this as the finished product. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that you might not even go back later and add some stuff or tweak some stuff. Experiment on it after you've already released it. But then it might be a 2.0 or a remix. Or something like that versus you holding on to it forever when you just need to
give it to the water.
Let that baby walk.
Let that baby walk.
Let that baby use them legs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you?
I was going to say similar things, but I was going to say I feel like in my current state, I know it's done when I don't have to, when there's nothing else I can take away from. So like, you normally it would be like during my experimentation phase, I'm adding a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just throwing a bunch of stuff in there. And I'll be like, you know what? Nah, I don't need that. It don't need that. It don't need that. And then when I have nothing left to take away from it, I'm like, all right. I think this is it.
That's interesting. Cause that's like the opposite of what we said. We said when we don't got nothing left to add to it. You like, I added everything to it. Yeah. And when I feel like I've gotten rid of all the unnecessary parts, then I can go ahead and let it go.
Because during my, again, I be experimenting. So I'm doing stuff like, if y'all see me record, when I'm really in it, I'm throwing so much at it. I'm like, I'm doing this, I'm trying this, I'm trying this. I got 30 takes of different things.
That's quite an overload message.
Yeah. Which is true. And then sometimes, but then I'll get to a point where I'm like, all right, I think I've added too much to it. So like, let me just start taking away. It's like, nah, I want to take away that. I want to take away that. I want to take away that. I'm like, I can't take away this, 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 and this. And I'm like, all right. I've pretty much added everything that my mind can imagine, so I'm not here to add anything else. So let me just see if anything's unnecessary. And once I get rid of the unnecessary stuff, I'm like, all right, we got something here.
I also feel like I experiment in private, so I say that because let's say I'm making a song, I sing the song. My songs sound completely different when I be singing them around the house than once it's recorded. So all the time I'm singing it around the house or rapping it, I'm experimenting. And mentally, I be like, I do a lot of stuff in my head. So I'll be adding certain parts or I'll be practicing certain parts to see if this work. And I'm like, that don't work. So I don't want to, I be feeling like I'm wasting my time recording it if it don't even work live. So it's like the thing of if your schedule can't fit on paper, don't try to put it in your Google Calendar. Like, if your schedule don't work on paper, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work, yeah.
That's interesting. I don't be doing that. A lot of times, like, when I do my background vocals and stuff, so I write with, like, how I'm going to sing it, and I'll practice it when, like, as I write it, or I'll practice it after I write it, how I'm going to record it, but then I do more experimentation on, like, the background vocals and stuff like that. So
I'll be doing that, too.
I don't be knowing what that's going to sound like until I actually get in the booth and start playing around with that stuff. So, but that's interesting that you be walking around the house experimenting. I don't know, because when I be like, okay, I got to have, like, a solid of this is how generally this is the skeletal structure of the sound of the song. These are the melodies. This is the part. I go up here, I go down here. Maybe I might tweak something there, but not quite sure. But this is, like, the skeletal thing. And that is what I'll practice. So then I'm comfortable with that. So then if I am in the booth, if I feel something different, I know the song in its regular form enough that now I can hit a little extra run, or I can take it up or take it down or move it over or put it to the left, to the side, to the up, to the back, you know. So that's interesting that you be experimenting while you're singing it around the house. And I be experimenting once I get into the booth.
Yeah, I'm similar, but so when I'm writing it, or at least I'm learning how to write differently now, but like typically when I'm writing, I'm doing so much experimentation during the writing process. I'm testing stuff out. I'm like, all right, cool. So that my verse ends up being like solidified before I get a chance to record, because I've experimented a bunch of times. But then once I get in the booth and I'm recording, most times I have no idea what's happening. Like I'm in there and then I'll do the leads, and then sometimes I'll mess up in the middle of doing something, and then I'll hear something in my mess up that I like, and I'm like, all right, hold on, let me kind of tweak something, let me see something real quick, and I'll go back in and I'm like, oh, okay, so what if I did this? And then it starts veering off, and then I'm adding more stuff. And then that's why, like, you've asked me before, like, how did you come up with the harmony? I'm like, I have no idea. I was trying to hit and I was like, I was like, oh, wait, hold on, wait. And then I was like, that actually sounds a little bit better. And then I was like, let me do this. And I did a whole stack. I did a whole thing on it. I was like, now I built the whole moment out of this mistake. So that's mostly what's happening to me. It's like, I don't really know. Like, I'll have an idea, but then once I get in there, I'm hearing what's going on in real time. And I'm adjusting on the fly. I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't even realize that could have been that way, because I didn't imagine it. Like, I know how, like, Breeze was talking about for a lot of his paintings and stuff, he's thinking, he's imagining it before he goes in. I'm not imagining it before I go in, and I'm just responding to stuff as I'm seeing it and feeling it.
That's interesting.
I also want to practice taking the seriousness out of what I be doing. So, like, I don't want to overthink, overanalyze me recording or me painting. Because even it be something so simple as, well, one thing that helped me, reading and knowledge is power. Okay, I say that because I mix my own colors when I paint. But recently I learned that the eyes, they just take in light, and your brain perceives what color you actually looking at. Mm-hmm. So purple is going to look different to everybody. So when I be painting, of course I want the color that I make to be exact to the picture that I'm looking at. But as long as I'm in the ballpark with all of my colors, it's going to look different to me than it looks to you regardless. So as long as I'm in the ballpark, you're going to get the same. Like, you're going to get the picture. That's what I'm saying. Because everybody perceives everything differently. So if it look like a duck, quack like a duck, it's a duck. Whether it's indigo, violet, regular purple, it's still purple. So
because of that, you want to start taking out so much of the seriousness.
Mm-hmm. Like, overthinking it and feeling like I have to have it exact or have to have it perfect. I just got to finish. Somebody's going to like it. And if nobody else like it, I'm going to like it. And if I don't like it, I could paint over it or just keep it for the archives.
That's true. So do you think that you experimenting more would help you to take some of the seriousness out of it?
Mm-mm. I think that causes anxiety.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'll be wanting stuff to be right. I'll be wanting it to be good.
But you're working on taking that out.
Yeah, but yeah, so me just jumping into experimenting.
I didn't mean just jumping into it. You could do like little incremental. Yeah. Like, anybody say you just full on just experiment. Mm. I just said just adding more, doing more experimenting, you know.
And this is the funny part, too, because part of what Rick was talking about in the book, he was saying, like, finishers could learn something from experimenters and experimenters can learn something from finishers. So, like, when you're, like, finishers can probably learn to, you have a little bit more wiggle room to mess around, right? And then experimenters can learn, like, hey, a deadline would help you. Like, finishing something could help you because then you can go on to finish the next thing. But it's like having a little bit of having people around you who are naturally the opposite can help you do better things. At least that's what I'm noticing about myself. Yeah. So just watching you guys sometimes finish certain things, I'm like, oh wow, okay. Like, I wasn't like you'll write a song in 10 minutes. And I'm sitting there like, "Damn, I got about three lines." He's like, "Yeah, I got the verse and the hook, and I'm done." And I'm like, "That's crazy," because I'm still working out how to what if this is the idea I'm landing on, whatever it is, and then eventually I'll get to that space where I finish it, but it's just different going.
See, now I will say that I feel like in writing, until more recently, I feel like I was much more of a finisher when it came to writing. And then when it came to, like, recording and performing, I'll say, I was more of an experimenter. Or I am more of an experimenter. But now I'm starting to explore experimenting and writing, and I'm enjoying it a lot. And I did a lot of finishing and recording last year and earlier this year. Last year, actually. So, yeah, that's why I think I teeter totter, because depending on what I'm doing, because that's why I was writing songs so quickly, because I knew how I wrote. I never experimented with it. I never allowed myself to go back and edit and all that stuff, because I'm just like, this is how God gave it to me. It must be perfect.
Mm-hmm. So this is fresh from the source. What do you want me to do? You want me to edit what's from the source?
Like, that's offensive to God, let alone to me. But now I'm exploring, like, okay, well, what if he just gave me the draft and he wanted me to actually decide how I wanted to color in this painting? Like, so now let me go back and edit. Or sometimes I'm looking at stuff and I'm like, this actually doesn't, I don't need this line. I don't need this word. When we were writing yesterday, I was looking at my stuff. This is the most I have edited as I was going, like crossing stuff out, going back, changing whole lines, taking stuff out completely. And it didn't feel wrong or anything like that. It just felt like, okay, this just didn't work, and that's okay. Let's see if this next thing works. So I think that dabbling in experimenting in this area of actual songwriting is helping me. It's helping me to just explore my depths as a writer and as a creative. But it also, when I go into the next phase, when it's time for me to finish stuff, I'll feel a lot more confident in what I'm finishing, because I know that I did all that I could with this song. Or I know that even if I'm in this moment and I'm recording and I feel like this needs a different line or deserves a different moment, I can change that. I'm not confined to anything, but I know that I can get it done. There's no doubt in my mind that I can get this done. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I had to reframe a lot of my thought process about finishing certain things, because, like, in my mind, I'm like, dang, I mean, I finished it, but, like, it's like, I don't know if it, I could have made it better. Like, I could have made it, and it's like, I had to kind of reframe it and look at it, and maybe this will help you guys, but for me doing the experimentation, like, any experiment that I finish is still me finishing. So, like, if I experiment and I finish that experiment, like, I got one on the books, and it's like, I finished that, okay, cool, and then let me finish that, finish the next thing. So, like, taking away like showing myself that there's finishing and experimenting, and there's experimenting and finishing. Mm-hmm. So like even when, so if you go back to something that you like, if you're naturally a finisher and you like, I don't want to go back to do this again. It's like, well, I mean, you finish things fast anyway. Just finish the new one again. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's the same thing. But again, it takes some like reframing, and I'm still learning that for myself.
I was about to say that. No.
Oh man. Oh dang. I had a question, but
I like this. It's got me looking at things a little bit differently, I would say now, as far as what it means to actually be finished with something, versus looking at something and being like, oh, I actually just might need to experiment a little bit more with this.
That was going to be the question, mm-hmm. based on what you just said. Well, how do you know when it's time to experiment with something?
When I feel like it's not done and I don't know why it's not done, then it's like, okay, let me go back in and see. I don't want to say what I'm missing, but what else needs to be here, you know? I think in those moments, I used to look at it like, I don't know. I don't know that I would go back and experiment as much. So I would look at it and be like, dang, I don't know why this doesn't feel like it's done. I don't know why, but I would look at it as I was procrastinating. But now from the perspective and the person that I am today, I'm like, oh, this isn't done. I'm not sure what needs to be here, but I need to try some stuff. I just need to try some stuff and see what happens, because it might be something that's in the lyrics. It might be something that is a part of the melody. It might be something that's in the beat that I'm like, I don't know exactly what it is, but let me add a little shaker, see if that works. Let me change the drum. Mm-hmm. Let me change the guitar. Or I ask y'all, can y'all listen to it and ask if y'all can add whatever y'all feel like is needed here? Because sometimes I've done all the experimenting that I can do on it, and it might need a fresh set of ears and eyes to be like, oh, you could just add this thing right here. Or like, you know, this is missing, or what would brighten up this space or whatever. Or y'all told me to remove a whole part out of a song and shift stuff down. So just, I think that for me, when I'm like, I don't know if this is actually done, I wish it was done, but it's not done yet. And that's when I know, okay, it needs some type of experimentation on it.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say I know it's time to experiment when I'm in flow. Because I'm not thinking about what it is I'm doing. So I'm not worried about the time, what time it is, when it's supposed to be done. If I'm in flow, whatever I do is going to make sense. Or if it don't make sense, I'm still in flow. So we're going to scratch that and do it again. Because at this point, I'm just enjoying myself. I'm enjoying the moment. So yeah, when I'm in flow, that's when it's time to experiment. Because my mind is off.
Interesting. What about you?
I think I like both of y'all answers. I'm not going to lie. I want to steal both. But I'll say I think I know it's time to experiment more recently once I have a target. Like, in the past, it was I'm experimenting from the beginning. Like, but I don't even have an idea, but let's just throw some stuff in a beaker and let's go ahead and see what happens, see what color we get. And now it's like, all right, let me at least have an idea of where I'm going, and then let me just experiment with different variations of where I'm going. So it's like, okay, cool, I'm trying to make a duck. All right, well, now that I know I'm about to make a duck, am I making it out of paper mache? Is it clay? You know what I'm saying? Is it marble? Like, what are we're like, maybe I do a little mixture, make my own, you know, sediment, whatever it is, but my own base. And that's when I know I'm like, all right, I can experiment. Cause at the very least in the back of my mind, I know where we're going. So I can just kind of, if I end up going in a more unique direction, that's cool. But I, at the very least, I can reel myself back in and be like, going a little bit too far to the left over there, buddy. And it's like, let's just get back. You was making, supposed to be making a duck. You got a pigeon on there. And, you know, you in the family, but it's not really what you're aiming for. So I think then I'm able to better experiment and test things out.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Do y'all often create from a space where you don't have a target? or don't have an idea in mind, you just kind of freeform, like, flow, whether it be music, art, cooking, life.
Musically and cooking. I've cooked without having an idea what I'm doing. It came out amazing. Always comes out amazing because I just be working with what I got. But definitely music, when I'm writing, I don't know what I'm talking about until I figure out what I'm talking about. Painting, I don't ever just throw paint on the canvas. Nah.
You haven't tried that? I wouldn't try. Well, I've done it.
I care
it.
Too much.
I feel like you should try it just to see what it's like.
Mm-hmm. See what you make.
Anxiety.
That's just like when the painters that they just be wetting the paintbrush and they be and just throwing the paint. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that one day.
Because, like, what if you, and this is probably just an experiment, Jeremy, but, like, what if there's something there for you, but you're just like, nah, I got too much anxiety about not knowing where I'm going.
And that's the thing. The reason why it took me so long to start painting was because I didn't want to mess up my drawing with the paint.
But it's no drawing there.
Exactly. Yeah. So now it's like, I want it to look like something.
It's nothing to mess up. It's just
emotion. Huh?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? That's why most people make stuff.
Is that what you're trying to avoid? The emotion?
Nah, I just don't know what it's going to look like.
Well, we're going to see what's going on in the mind's eye.
Oh, actually, I did. I did it one time when I went to paint and sit the very first time by myself. Mm-hmm. I did like a sky. Yeah, I did a sky and like water.
They didn't tell y'all what to draw?
You just get a canvas and paint.
Oh, the painting sip I went to, they told us.
No, I wasn't the painting sip. Paint and sit.
Oh, paint and sit. Oh, okay. Oh, we just saw our paintings.
Yeah, you just sit. Yeah.
We just found our paintings from the paint and sit. We can hang Damani's up. Mine look a little creepy. It look like an evil clown. I don't know. I didn't like it. I was like, put this away. But, okay. So you did it once. I think you should do it again.
Yeah, I think you should, just for the sake of the painting.
On a big canvas.
Yeah, but again, this is just the experimenter talking over here. I just think it would be cool just to see what comes of it. Because if you always start from the same place, I feel like you kind of rob yourself of the opportunity to find out, like, all right, if I start from here, what would I make here? And maybe you'll make something, I don't know, cool. Maybe you'll find a different style that you never knew you had. That's how my brain be working when it comes to it. Like, that's the reason why it'd be like, you want me to have a target and go? I mean, it sounds so like goal oriented, you know. Like, it sounds like I have a checklist and I'm just check. That's not art. Where's the emotion? Where's the paint? Put it on the page, you know. I don't know why that's what my brain be thinking, but
why your hand moves so fast?
That's the emotion, you know. He's like, that's art, you know what I'm saying? That's how you sell art right there. There's somebody right now at Art Basel that got a painting up there that they just and they said that's $50,000.
And that's a fact. That is a fact.
What was the question you had?
Whoa. Do y'all ever just
Where's the emotion?
I was asking about, like, starting with nothing. Like, starting from, like, free form creativity.
Oh, yeah, that was the question.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, man. I have definitely, with a lot of my, like, before now, all of the writing was, I was the same way as Bree. Like, I didn't even know what I was talking about. Like, I would talk until I found a sentence that made sense. That's pretty much what was happening. It would be like, I say something, I'd be and then, like, oh. That makes sense. All right, cool. And next thing you know, I got a whole thought. And that's how I was always making sense of stuff. And then I eventually, when I started learning more about songwriting and other stuff.
In emotion.
Don't forget that emotion. The song. All right.
How you going to cut the song short?
That's crazy. See, it was about to get out of hand. It was about to get, woo. So thank you, God. But.
You said God?
God said, reel it in. Calm. But, yeah,
that's all. My bad.
I'm sorry, see, did that, it just that's leap what, over to
that's
you?
That's what I said. It was about to. You was just woo.
Crazy. Girl, I'm soft spoken, so it don't hit as hard.
That was pretty loud.
Oh, my bad.
But, yeah. For me, I didn't like the idea. And it's probably just pride. But I didn't like the idea of feeling like that I couldn't start from the opposite end that I normally start with. So, as opposed to me just going and me organizing that way, I was like, I don't really like the fact that, like, I'm having trouble starting with a topic and me feeling like if I have a topic to start, it's going trash. Like, I just didn't like how that felt. So I was like, let me try doing that. And then, yeah. What about you, though?
I mean, I've painted freeform. In the past, all my songs were pretty much freeform. And how I did it was like, you know, like I said, God gave this to me. But as I was singing the lines, if I remembered them, then I was like, this needs to be a part of the song. Because I might sing a bunch of different things, but they not really hitting, so they not memorable. I can't even remember. But then I'm like, okay, yeah, this the one. I keep repeating this one. And then I put it on the page and I just keep going and stuff would just kind of start flowing from there. Mm. But I've also written from a starting point. I think I'm now learning to do that better. Because before I was mostly just like, whatever came to me, that's where we're going. Now I'm learning to use that emotional aspect of it, plus actually having an idea of what I'm talking about or what I want to say. Not even just what I'm talking about, but what I actually want to say on this song, in this poem, on this paper, on this lane.
That's all I was thinking.
So I think I have done freeform a lot. Painting, I'm not that great at it, so you guys will probably never see what I paint. But just know I hang my artwork around the house, though.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever come to my house, you'll see everything but that creepy clown.
No, you're going to see that creepy clown at some point.
Mm-hmm. you painted a clown?
I don't know what it was, but it looks like a clown with ice cream scoops on its head. I'm not
sure. And it's crazy because that's not what it looked like to me. It looked like somebody like ascending, like they was getting like taken by a UFO or something. Like, woo, like one of those, like little rings.
It looked like it could be an evil snowman. I'm not quite sure what was happening. There are shapes and there are colors. That's all I know. But, okay, let's start with you, Breeze. Final thoughts. As someone who identifies as a finisher, what advice do you have to the people who lean more toward experimenting?
Finish what you start.
I knew it.
Yeah, just finish. Plan to finish. Regardless of how much you experiment, at some point, you got to tell yourself, I mean, I feel like the goal is to do this as much as possible. So the only way to do this as much as possible is to finish so I can move to the next thing.
Hmm.
So the quicker you finish, the quicker you could do the next thing. Or mm-hmm. like the quicker you finish experimenting here, you can experiment there.
Hmm.
And just keep. So it's you're not really not experimenting. You're just experimenting in a different space or on a different thing.
You heard it here, folks.
Mm.
And Damani, for all of our people who lean more toward being a finisher, what advice do you have to them?
I would say it's not going to hurt you to experiment a little bit more on the thing that you're working on. Like, especially if you're able to finish the thing quickly. If you're hell bent on finishing it, you can always go back and just see if there's anything that you can expand to make it better. Not to stay there forever, but you likely are able to finish things very quickly. So go back into it just a little bit and just see if there's anything else you can add, take away, and just see what comes of it. Just treat it like a fun game. Because to me, in the same way, it's like you're never not experimenting. It's like I'm still finishing. Like I might go back and do another iteration, and like that also extends the process. So in any capacity, you're both like staying in the spot longer. Pretty much staying in the spot longer isn't gonna hurt you.
Hmm.
That's pretty much what the sentiment is. So I would say staying in the spot longer isn't gonna hurt you. Experiment a little bit, just a little bit more.
What you want to tell the people who are experimenting in and finish. In between.
Mm-hmm.
The picnic said 6-7. I think they're gonna get that later for them. Nah, for the youth them.
Okay. For the people who are like teeter tottering or go back and forth between being an experimenter and a finisher, what I would say is embrace whatever season that you're in. So fully immerse yourself into the season of experimenting. And once that season is over, fully immerse yourself into finishing. Finishing what you started, whether that be months ago, years ago, or what you started in the finishing phase, or what you're starting in the experimenting phase. You know, it could be 2 seconds ago. Just commit to the phase that you are in, because both of them are right. It doesn't hurt you to stay in the spot longer, but it is important for you to finish so that you can get back to experimenting, so that you can get back to finishing. So allow the cycle to cycle. And but in the meantime, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload.
Ding!
Check out the links in the description. Join our Patreon. That link is down there as well. And I'm Shaquoya D.
Bodman Breezington here.
It's your boy Damani.
And thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the Gray Area Podcast.
Yes.
We appreciate each and every one of you. Comment below. Let us know if you lean toward being a finisher or an experimenter, because we would love to know. And let us know your thoughts as well. But yeah, check out them links. Check out them links. Stream our music. Check out the art, music, fashion, all the things. And if you like this episode, you're going to like the one that's linked up on the screen. We will see you guys next week.
Bye. Adios.
Stay blessed. Stay black, people.
You say what?
And know yourself. Know your worth.
Jukebox, hit me with another jam.
Get on my face. Get on my. Get on my.
Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.